occupied till I come. The way of the eagle. This morning is a healing and deliverance service segment. So I'm going to be speaking with the mind that interpreters are interpreting, so that you can have the time to interpret. This is healing and deliverance service segment of the convention. So I am going to quickly speak on the subject occupying by health and strength. True health and strength. Our objective this morning will be to understand the place of health and strength in occupying our territories for God. The place of health and strength. And then, second objective will be to understand the way of health and strength. Without a doubt, one of the greatest assets of our lives, apart from life itself, asset number one, the highest is God and His presence. And then, apart from life itself, is health and strength. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse 7, he said Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, and his natural strength did not reduce. He lived to be 120 years. With sharpness of sight and without a dimness, a reduction in strength. One of the greatest character of the eagle is strength and health. No wonder Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. No wonder the eagle occupies the air, occupies the sky as the king of the birds. The eagle is able to carry weights that are three times its size, its own size, and fly miles with the weight by the power of strength and health. The secret of the impact of Caleb was strength, it was health. In Joshua chapter 14 and in verse 10 to verse 12, look at what Caleb said. He occupied his territory. He said, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in for war. Therefore, give me this mountain. You say the Anakims are there, leave that for me. Just give me the mountain. I will drive them out. Strength was the secret of Caleb and health. Strength and health were the secret of Moses. We just saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse 7. One of the saddest scriptures, not as sad as Samson, but one sad scripture I read some time ago was Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. It was the account of Joshua. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, meaning that Joshua has come to the point where, apart from age, he is weary, tired, exhausted. And the Lord said to him, thou art old and stricken in years. You are about to expire. Yet there remaineth very much land to be possessed. Your energy is gone. Your strength is gone. Your capability is gone, but your work is not done. And it was not anybody telling him. It was God talking to him. You are about to expire, but you have not finished your chapters. It was the opposite of what Paul the apostle said. I am ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. God is telling Joshua, your time of departure is at hand, but you are not ready to go. You can't say that you are set to go, but you have to go because your strength is expired. Your energy is gone. And when he began to mention the lands, not one, no, not two. Maybe give us a little of those lands that God mentioned. Can you proceed down a bit? And he began to mention all the lands. May you never come to the end of your life where you have so much work, but no more time. So much work, but no more energy. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone who is here today that is weary, that is tired, that is weak and sick, I announce today the sickness, the weakness, the tiredness shall expire. They must expire today. They must expire today. They must expire today. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Why do we need strength and health? Number one, we need strength and health to fulfill our life's assignment within our time allotment. To fulfill our life's assignment within our time allotment. The time allotted to us, we need the strength and the health to fulfill our life's assignment. Within our time allotment. That was what happened to Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and in verse 7. By the time he was old,
he has also finished what he was meant to do, apart from the situation of rebellion that cost him the promised land, but that's another subject.
Why do we need
strength and health? Number two, we need strength and health for kingdom exploit. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong. And they shall do exploits. Daniel 11:32b. Weak people can't do exploits. Tired people can't do exploits. Sick people can't do exploits. I was talking to, when I went to dedicate Pastor George Izunwa's church, new church that he built. He said something very funny to me. And he says, "Sir, I'd like you to pray for me for energy. Pray for me for strength. Pray for me for energy." He said, "Because God bears me witness that if it is zeal, I don't lack. If it is passion for God, I'm not lacking it. What I'm looking for now is energy, strength." Look at the number of crusades you just saw. This is 2026. I was praying for him. That's the church dedication. What was the last thing on the crusade there? This is 2026. That is United States of America. Open air stadium crusade 2 weeks ago. Open air stadium crusade, not Abuja. 2 weeks ago. That's Prague in Czech Republic. The same week, the two programs was the same week. Flew from here to Europe, fly from Europe to America, and then fly back to catch Sunday service. All of these crusades this year, not one Sunday service has been missed. Anyway, and at times we arrive at home 4 a.m. 5 a.m. on Sunday morning, from airport straight to the altar here. Appreciate God, rush to go and shower and refresh and come back for 6:30 a.m. first service. And preach a message that is like you had holiday for the last 1 week. One of our pastors from, one of our men from the south part of this country, he said going around the world and ministering is intense enough. But what confuses him the most is the kind of message that is preached on Sunday morning after you return from such a journey. Where was the time for the intensity of the preparation that could produce such a ministration? You are going to have it. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. So whenever the devil is attacking your strength, he's attacking your exploit. He targets your strength in order to puncture your exploits. He targets your energy. He targets your health. In order to affect your kingdom exploit. So you must understand that there are some that are not sick, but they are not strong. You can't trace the sickness, but there is no strength. Why do we need our strength and our health? Number three, we need our strength and our health to keep the enemy out of our space. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
For we wrestle. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 all the way to verse 18. To keep the enemy, Caleb said, give me my portion and leave the enemy for me to deal with. There is a time when you need to pray to scream on the devil. There is a time when you need to pray with brutality and fire and force. See that girl that came to church that you watch in that documentary. She was brought in here on that wheelchair. And then when she came out, and they say she was healed, she was still walking like this. And they pushed out the wheelchair. I rushed at her with the flame that was burning in my heart against that devil. Kick the devil out. And then let's go. Let's take a walk. Before you can say praise the Lord, he took off running. When she returned back, the first thing she did was to kick the wheelchair. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There is a dimension of fire and force. The wheelchair was the first target. There is a dimension of fire and force that you cannot deploy with weakness. There is a dimension of fire, a dimension of force. In fact, you want to move, the devil says, sit down. You weak, sick person, heal yourself first. Deal with yourself first. So it is very, very important. You need a strong body, and then you need a sound mind, and then you need a spirit on fire to deal adequately with the devil. Let me say that again. A strong body, a sound mind, a fireful spirit, a body that is strong, a mind that is sound, a spirit on fire to adequately deal with the devil and keep him where he belongs. Jesus said, sacrifices and offerings thou hast not required, but a body has thou prepared me. You gave me a body, a tireless body, a sickless body, a weariless body, a body that can preach for 72 hours non-stop. I'm sure you remember that. He preached one day for 72 hours non-stop. And he said, give them food to eat. They said, why? He said, they have been with me for 72 hours. For 3 days, 72 hours on your feet with a voice that is not cracking. One of the pastors that I knew were young in 1978-79 when the Lord was raising us, Bishop Igoche, now old man. He said, I listen to you and I watch you all the time. He said, my greatest miracle about you is that your voice does not crack. He said, how can you preach in the morning, preach in the night, pray? And then, and you do that every day from Monday till Saturday. One young girl said to me the other day after their youth conference, she was an usher, ushering people. She lost her voice. she,
She said, I was doing ushering work. I lost my voice. He said, I don't know how you did it, how you do it. See, I didn't preach, I didn't sing, I didn't do anything. Just say, sit down here, move there. Lost the voice for a 1 week program. And then you come. And then I asked, after finishing preaching and stressing the voice, I said, can you, soprano, hit the sixth octave? Let me hear. C6. So no, I cannot hit it. I can't hit it. A body has thou prepared me. Jesus was conscious that he needed a prepared body. A body that was equal to the task. A body that was equal to the assignment. A body that was equal to the demands on his life. And that is why I'm here this morning, because I believe that somebody's, the way the devil is making you sick every week, you won't be able to fulfill your destiny. In the name that is above every name, everything in your body and in your system right now that is not planted by my God, I command it cleared out, cleaned out. Shout yes. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. We need strength to keep the enemy out of our space. Number four, we need strength to take our portion and hold our ground in God. To take our portion and hold our grounds in God. That was what Caleb did in Joshua 14 and in verse 10 all the way to verse 12. He said, give me my possession. We need strength to occupy our space, to take our portion and hold our ground. We need strength. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say loud more say amen. Somebody shout a believer say amen. One day we finished an all night. That was in area one. 10 p.m. 9 p.m. till 6 a.m. By the time we were leaving by 6 a.m. in the morning, I told Dr. Misonenche, I said, I feel so much energy. I feel like going on for another 6 hours. She said, really? Well, you can go ahead and do your preaching. Let those of us normal human beings go home and sleep. Let those of us normal human beings go home and sleep. I say, what are you talking about? Are you accusing me of abnormality? I'm not normal. He said, well, let's normal. And that was the truth. I wasn't pretending. By virtue of his energy. I came from Europe one time. Straight British Airways landed on Sunday morning about 5 a.m. Went straight home, showered, back to church by 6 a.m. First service, area one. First service, second service, third service, fourth service, fifth service. Finished the fifth service, went back home, dressed up, flew out in the evening of the same day to South America. Energy, 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 energy. It's coming upon somebody right now. If you are saying amen, you are saying it like a believer. Health is coming, strength is coming, capacity is coming, capability is coming. Hey! Peter says, silver and gold, I am not
given you, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, something is coming upon somebody here today. Something is coming upon someone here. You believe it, shout yes.
Give the Lord the praise. Apostle Omar from Nicaragua is here, and his wife. Give the Lord the praise for them. Big, 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 mega assignment they are doing in Nicaragua. They were our host in Nicaragua when we went for the Nicaragua crusade. The wife told me and Dr. Mr. Nenche yesterday, he said, do you sleep at all? I said, yes, we sleep. He said, are you sure you sleep at all? I said, how do you know?
Pastor Eddie, please, Bishop Eddie, please interpret to them.
Yes, he's doing that.
Okay.
He's doing that. Hallelujah. Beloved brothers and sisters, why do we need health and strength? Number five. We need health and strength to run with the required speed for impact. To run with the required speed. The Bible says we should run the race that is set before us. When it comes to faith, you walk the walk of faith, but when it comes to impact, you run the race. You run. To run the race that is set before us. Vision requires running. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3. He said, write the vision. Make it plain. Upon tables. Verse 2. That he may run. That readeth it. There is no vision that is qualified to be called a vision that requires crawling. No vision is qualified to be called vision that requires walking. Vision places the demand of running on the visionary. So visioners are runners. And you don't run with weakness. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. 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 Strength to run. What have I done this month? What have we done this month? Went to Czech Republic. And came back from Czech Republic. From Czech to US. What was the youth conference?
Youth conference.
Alright, so just understand. So the first week, when was the youth convention? The first week of August was youth convention. That was Monday till Friday, where I preached every day.
Every day.
Every single day. Loaded message. Minimum of an hour. Some more. With intensity of prayer. Set youths on fire. Youths came from other countries as well. And they filled the place like this. Maybe you have the video clip you can show. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Within that same youth meeting. On the Thursday of it, I was to go to preach in the East. I preached to them from here in the East. The same Thursday I was to go to Ghana. We are at the airport. And then our plane arrived much later than the time it should have arrived. So my preaching was to be 7 to 8 in Ghana, and then we are meant to leave here by 9, which will make us reach Ghana around 10 something.
That, so that canceled the, that day's schedule. But that did not cancel my preaching here at all. Each day with commanding the day midnight prayer. Then finished that and went the following week to Czech Republic. And then from Czech Republic to United States of America. Commanding the day happening every day. Then returned back to Children's Convention, where I participated and also preached full blast, almost 2 hours, to children. Can you show us a clip of the Children's Convention? Move faster, move faster, move faster. We had about 20,000 children. Keep going. We fed them for 3 days, free of charge, for 3 days. We are all children, so we are marching like children. That's their closing. Just shift faster, faster, faster. Fast forward. The children did everything. They played the sax, played the drum, played the instrument, conducted their services and all of that. Preaching now and illustrating to them at their level for almost an hour and a half. Preaching to the children. Do you understand what it means to preach for a 3-year-old to understand? And you are preaching for 1.5 hours. It was interaction. After some minutes of praying, what did I say? You. Hallelujah. And finish with that one. And here we are. International ministers. This is August. The very August, which has not yet expired. Book writing is inside this. Music, worship production is inside this. Seats of destiny is inside this. I am not saying anything to impress nobody. But once there is a vision, you must be a runner. You must run. You must run. You must run the race. You must proceed with a sense of urgency. John G. Lake said, I run as I walk. I walk as I run. I run as I pray. I pray as I run. Everything has become, has entered everything. I run as I pray. I pray as I run. Hallelujah. We need energy. And to run, you need energy. That was what the Bible said in Psalm 19 and in verse 5. It says, as a strong man to run the race. Which is talking about the son. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. There is the need for strength to run. There is the need for health to run. We need that. Number 6, because of time to round off, we need strength and health to live out our days. So that our days are not cut short. To live out our days. Moses lived out his days. Deuteronomy 34 verse 7. To live out our days. So that our days are not cut short. to live out our days. You are not cut short by sickness and not cut short by any activity of the enemy from any realm. So we are talking about spiritual strength, physical strength. Talking about spiritual energy, physical energy. Hallelujah. Everyone trusting the Lord today that you are going to move back to, and I'm specifically trusting the Lord for every liability in your body. Diabetes is hypertension. Easy fatigability. Is living in the glory of his presence. Living in the glory and in his presence. That was where Moses lived. The glory saturated his body until strength was the outcome. Living in his glorious presence. Living in the glory of his presence. Living in his glory and in his presence. It's the same thing. Living in his glorious presence. Living in the glory of his presence. Living in his glory and in his strength. And in his presence. The same thing. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. Before God, what you get is strength. It says strength and honor are before him. They are before him. Living in his glory and in his presence. Number two is living in the word. Allowing the word to continue. We are pastors, we preach the word, but it's a different thing when you use the word therapeutically on yourself. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to verse 23. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Every time you get a fresh revelation from the word, you are getting a fresh injection of life. A fresh injection of life. John 6:63. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. Ezekiel 2 and in verse 2, as he spake, the Spirit entered me. Don't forget this. Every time you get a fresh insight from the word, you are getting a fresh injection of life, a fresh injection of strength, a fresh injection of health, a fresh injection of Zoe. So as busy as we are, let us endeavor to maintain contact, a fresh flow of the word. The word we hear, the word we eat, the word we feast on. Let's endeavor and trust the Lord for that. In the I mean, nobody is too busy to eat physical food. Nobody is ever too busy to have a bath. So we must never be too busy to get light from the word. I believe maybe that was why Timothy's word will always open the Bible. Before he eats physical food, he will break from the bread of life. Before he eats or he ate physical food. Hallelujah. Living in the word. Number three, living in joy. Freedom from depression. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10b said, the joy of the Lord shall be thy strength. Depression deprives you of health. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say unto you, rejoice. Make the choice for joy. Make that choice for joy. Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoicing is a choice. Joy is a choice. It's not a gift. I made the choice to enjoy life and not endure it. You can make the choice to enjoy it and not endure it. If you ask my wife, sit there, you ask my daughter, sit there. We just woke up and we came straight to church. Tell them yesterday, how many times did I make them laugh? They will tell you. They may not remember the number. But it just flows permanently like a tonic. Pastor John and his wife, they came all the way. Can you wave your hands, Pastor John and your wife? Can you stand and just wave? Let's see you. They are doing very, very great work. Americans, but now in the United Arab Emirates. And he said, after I laid hands on him, I would like you to share that testimony. I laid hands on him. Was that in Houston? And then things exploded. Things began to happen. They are now ministering and impacting people all the way to Pakistan, where terrorists are repenting, being baptized and being filled with the Holy Ghost. They now came and said, we want to come so you can help us, cover us, and show us how to do it more. People are getting exploded. The wife told me yesterday, he said, you carry joy everywhere. I said, how do you say? It's all over you. You say, you and your wife, anywhere. And that is the truth. Anywhere, any meeting or program we show up by God's message, the atmosphere explodes with an unusual tonic of excitement. It's right in the air. Thank you, John. I'll pray for you in the course of the service. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? There is just an explosion. You have just one life to live. Enjoy it. You have just one life to live. You may have spare tire, but you don't have spare life. This life has no rehearsal. We are not rehearsing for another life. We are in the reality of life now. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't endure it. Enjoy it. Don't endure it. Enjoy it. And you know that merriment is medicinal. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Proverbs 17:22. Joy is therapeutic. Hallelujah. Chemotherapy, radiotherapy, joyotherapy. I heard about a man who I was told was given diagnosis, a terminal diagnosis. He had about 6 weeks or something to live. And when he thought very well, he said, well, before I die, let me at least rejoice. So he began to watch things that made him laugh. He laughed out that devil under 6 weeks. And it was gone. Diagnosis disappeared. Life restored. Am I communicating? Every time the devil puts your joy under pressure, he's putting your life under pressure. When your joy is at risk, your life is at stake. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loud most amen. As pastors, we can come under a lot of pressure. A lot of people, a lot of things. People you are helping and are attacking you. All manner. You. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I preached on Sunday, I said, don't allow anybody bring you bad report from somebody who hates you. Don't. They said, do you know what so-and-so person was saying against you? And it's someone that is confirmed who wants you dead. Tell him I'm not interested. Because there is nothing he's going to say to about me that is correct, that is accurate. So why do I want to hear it? We were in a minister's conference some time ago, one of our pastors, this would be like about 20 years ago, he said, Daddy, people are bad. I said, what happened? He said, as we just left the minister's conference now and went outside, that was in the real one, as we went out, and we're talking, a pastor who was right inside the same minister's conference was speaking against you bitterly. You know what I said? I said, so God bless you. So we'll see later. tomorrow I did not ask him, who is he? Yeah. Till tomorrow, what did he say? Yeah. It will not help me. Because if I know who he is, and I know what he said, it will so corrupt my mind that any time I see him coming out. Because I know how to frown if I want to. You don't even want to see my frown. So that will just corrupt my mind for nothing. Corrupt my... So let me be laughing for him. Despite what he said, let me not know he is the one. Let me still be smiling for him. Let it be heaping coals of fire on his head. Let God deal with him for me. Let me protect my heart. Let me protect my joy. Let me protect my excitement. Am I speaking to somebody here? So stop looking for what they are saying about you. Stop looking. Except if it is for the sake of assessment, like Jesus said, what do men say that I am? When he wanted to assess his impact, that was a different matter. But where people you know is confirmed. They are not pretending. If you kill yourself for them, you say, die there. You say, in fact, you say you wanted to die for me, you didn't even die well. There is nothing under heaven you will do that makes any sense. So stop trying. Face your life. Face your life. Go very, very far. A time will come when they will not be able to see your brake light. Hey! Hey! If God is speaking to you, shout the Lord and say amen. By all means, protect your joy. Protect the joy of people around you, your wife, your husband, your children. Protect their joy. There are times when you just deflate the tension by just a statement. Pastors, don't let everybody tell you everything before you go to the altar. Huh? You're about to step up and say, sir, we just heard the news. Which news? Let the news wait until I finish delivering. Am I communicating at all? Don't ever branch near me with the negative news before I step on the altar. It doesn't matter what the news is. If it is a fact, it can wait. A problem can be solved. A fact is to be accepted, and it can wait. If nothing can be done about it now, why do you want to pollute my heart? This is a fountain. It's the fountain I have. It must flow with sweet waters. Don't color the message I'm about to preach with depression. Yes, sir. Don't color it with depression. Don't color it with bad news. Don't color it with hatred and bitterness and malice. Don't color it. Just help me lift my heart. Let it be free. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody shout the loud and say amen. Give the Lord a praise and take your say. So these are very, they might look little or tiny, but there are people who are destroying their own lives by this joyless oppression. Live in his glory and presence, live in the world, endeavor. And one thing I want to tell pastors here today, please, every time you have the opportunity to prepare a message, let it be your opportunity as well to get a light that you never had before, even on that same message. So that you are not a caterer that is giving people food and dying of hunger yourself. So that every opportunity of your life is maximized. You have your personal study of the word. But even the study to minister, let it be a study that enriches your own life.
after this message, I'll write down action points from this particular message for myself.
If you did not learn anything from what yourself is teaching, you are a signboard, not a sign. The signboard is pointing people to where he did not enter. Hallelujah. Don't live like a signboard. Don't be pointing people somewhere. Let what you are saying give yourself proofs. The proofs you had before and the proofs after what you have preached.
I learned so heavily during the youth convention. While I was teaching, I was listening, I was hearing, I was receiving.
Hallelujah. Number three, you live in joy and then you live in love, free of bitterness.
Hebrews 12:15 said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The two of them are connected most times. People who are bitter most times are also depressed. And vice versa. People who are depressed at times are bitter also. They see everybody as the cause of their problem. I have seen bitterness unto sickness. I have seen bitterness unto madness. Bitterness unto madness. So bitter until they run crazy. I've seen. Not one, not two. I'm remembering that like three now. T.L. Osborne mentioned one. That he experienced, I believe it was in Uganda.
Bitterness. Bitterness invites the ministry of tormentors.
In Luke, I believe, chapter 18, I think verse 35, where he said a particular servant did not forget. Okay, Matthew 18, 35, I think, 35, 36. A particular servant did not forget. So likewise, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. All right, 34, 35. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So shall my heavenly Father do to those who don't forgive. So unforgiveness and bitterness invite the ministry of tormentors. There are people whose systems are being tormented because of things that they have held and they have not released. Unforgiveness, bitterness. Pastor, steal your member, or so and so forth. Somebody left the church. And he's talking against you. Well, you leave them for God. I don't know of any church in this world that somebody did not leave. I don't know one. Papa Yedeko said when they went to Canaan land and they started, some people came and said the place is too far. They cannot come. People who have been there, it's too far. Why did our church come to this? He told them, he said, you know what? Are there nearby churches where you are? So yes, so find one nearby. Just find one near there and just feel free. So just feel free. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is nobody that a relationship will not end. A friend you had that you thought was a friend that later became a devil. If you doubt me, ask Jesus Christ about Judas Iscariot. Bible says Satan entered Judas. The person he said in Psalm, my own familiar friend has raised his heel against me. It was a prophetic psalm talking about Judas. So Judas was not just a treasurer, he was a familiar friend. Yeah, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted. I trusted him until I gave him the bag of the money to hold. He ate of my bread. The one I'm giving the bread to is the one that will crucify me. He has lifted up his heel against me.
That is a messianic psalm. Messianic psalms are psalms that spoke about Jesus Christ before he arrived. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That was Judas. There's not one person. But do you know what I can tell you? The only person that must not leave you or leave church is God. If God has not left you and God has not left church, you are in good place. It doesn't matter who is present. If God is absent, you are wasting your life. You are wasting your life. It doesn't matter who is present. Whether it's a rich man or a poor man, whether it's an influencer, it doesn't matter who is present. If God is absent, you are a goner. And it doesn't matter who is absent. If God is present, calm down. You know, people have a way of looking down and despising people. When we came to town newly, they looked at us and said, small children church. Small church of small people. They call it church of small people. Church of little children. One woman, her sister was attending our church. She told the sister, is it that small children's church you are going? That one has since looked for help here. Another time they say it was poor people's church. That it is just for the masses. The classes attend at other places. The masses come here. Some are using it as an explanation for why they are not seeing the crowd. They say, oh no, it's just masses. Market people, roadside people. Those are the kind of people that fill the place. If you are looking for millionaires and billionaires, look elsewhere. Later on, they change their mind. They say, we are producing money somewhere. That there is something we are doing that they don't understand. How can you do all those crusades and you didn't take offering? I'm flying everywhere around the world. Right? Just at will. When we went to Togo and Ghana, two private planes moving in the air like Tazi. And Uyo, in Uyo, it was three planes. You were there in that. I gave him one to follow. You see, what happened in that Uyo, when we were going for the crusade in Uyo, when we were going to that Uyo, three planes were available for our use. Three. So I said, my PA, you and this group follow this plane. You are the leader in this other plane. You will sit on my seat where I should have sat there. He said, I gave him one to follow. And Cameroon, too, you were with us in Cameroon. Cameroon was two. He was the beneficiary of one of them. Now, inside these planes are camera holders, church workers. That is how the place is a poor place. Instrumentalists. You are some of them. When we were coming from Uyo, somebody was angry. He said, you followed our own. Can you follow our own now? You came with this other one. Can you go with our own back? Listen, in the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter what anybody is saying to you. All that you need is just focus on God. The only person that must not be absent from your life is God. That must not be absent from your life is God. That must not be absent from your life is God. Ensure that God is present. And don't give allowance for any trace of bitterness. If you are here, shout the loudest amen. Look at your neighbor and say, there is no time to be bitter. There is too much work to do. Take your seat. I quoted Nelson Mandela verbatim. When he came out of prison, they say, how do you feel about those who imprisoned you? Are you bitter? He said, bitter? There is no time to be bitter. There is work to do. It is work where you no get. That is why you are taking notice of who is talking against you. Who is after you. It's work you don't have.
Bury yourself in assignment. You won't have the time to hear what they say.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Bury yourself in the assignment. You will not have the time to hear what people are saying. And you will not have the time to be bitter. If there is anyone you are bitter against today, just release them. Release them to God. There are those who feel that like they deserve judgment. Let vengeance, let God judge them. Let the judgment happen for them. Living in love, dash, free of bitterness is key number four. Number five is living in the light of vision. That is what I just explained. In the light of vision. When you flood yourself with vision. Vision produces restoration and transformation within you. Vision is a force for life. That was why he said, where there is no vision, the people perish. In Proverbs 29 and in verse 18, you can saturate the things that you keep in front of you, the things that your eyes see. Those things, they energize you, they strengthen you, they give you capacity to run. That was why I said, write the vision, make it plain that you may run. The visioner is a runner, and you need strength to run. You see, so the vision supplies both the strength and the health to run. It supplies both the strength and the health. Ensure that your mind is sufficiently occupied with what to do. Sufficiently saturated with what needs to be done. The next step to take. The next level to step into. The next... My wife and I... last... I think it was 3 days ago or four. She said... So what is your plan concerning this crusade impact? I said, I am trusting God that, yes, it's a plan for next year, whether there shall be a slight either modification or reduction or something about next year. I said, oh, no. It's not likely to come down. and I must commend her. No woman can walk the way she's walking, or run the way she's running, or follow a man like this and not break down. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, apart from the stress, the jet lag, time difference, in the Philippines, when we are meant to be sleeping, 12 is 7 a.m. when it is 12 midnight here. When you say you are, We're commanding the day midnight prayer by 6 a.m. there to 7. So by the time you need to sleep, the day has started. And there was a morning session. So it was so, the time difference. Apart from that, the stress of flight. The stress of flight. 17 hours. 16 hours. One day we're flying and I had drank water, this bottled water. And it was empty. By the time we arrived at destination, it has squeezed, collapsed like this. From altitude, so I say, really? So you can imagine what it is doing to the body. You can imagine what it is doing to the body. It is doing something to your body, but you are not aware. It squeezed the water bottle squeezed before we reached the destination. Just squeezed like this. It was just there. Nobody touched it. Just locked. So the stress of flying, and for those who enjoy flying in quote, when plane shakes more. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, I'm actually saying she must be commended. That's true. Because I am a boy. She's a girl. And boys can play rough play. But not girls. Praise the Lord. But she said, so how is it? I said, no, I'm not sure if it is going to relax, but let's see how it goes. But I'm trusting the Lord that we should be able to cover so and so level of grounds around this time. To be able. So I gave her, so we should be able to go to about these kind of places, spread the fire, set the lands on fire. For me, beyond the crusade is setting the ministers on fire. Ministers' conference, set them on fire. Leave them to overrun their land. So I'm trusting for us to go to about this kind of number of countries. When we look, the number I mentioned is more than the number of countries in the world. She said, it is already more than it's already more than the should more countries be created? And I said it out of, I didn't, it just came spontaneously. I said, we should be able to visit so and so number and set them on fire, set the lands on fire. So no, that is far more than the number of countries in the whole world. I started laughing. That is over vision. But it's better to have more vision than to have no vision. And to have too little vision. Just charge your mind. Go before God. The territory where you are, let every square inch of it be overrun. Am I communicating at all? Don't let your mind run out of vision. Otherwise, you may run into transgression. The Bible said when Solomon finished all that was in his heart, that was when he started marrying more wives and concubines. He finished all. Don't let work finish in your heart. Don't let assignment finish in your heart. Don't let vision finish in your heart. They brought a pastor to me from Canada the other day, last year. I said, what is your vision? He said, nothing. That is almost 60 years now. Church is not growing. Nothing is happening. So he's just trying to see. I said, 60. He said, no vision. I said, Moses started at 80. Burning bush was age 80. I've not reached the age where Moses started. Abraham started at age 75. That is, you have 15 more years to the starting point of Abraham. What are you talking about? If vision was injected, hands were laid on him, he ran back to Canada, routed the place. Today he's running multiple services. He said he's going to come and testify. He said that anointing is too contagious. He said he was at the point where he has accepted where he was. Everything was at his thesis. He said, can you imagine people coming to church? Church is overflowing. They sent me the pictures this morning. Church is overflowing and they are running multiple services. He told a friend who brought him, he said, the point he was, he has retired. It is to maintain whatever he has to the end of his life. Just maintain whatever you are doing. Just maintenance. I don't care what age you are, what you have seen. Don't let vision run out of your heart. Don't let vision run. Don't let work run out in your heart. Don't let assignment run out in your heart. It will rejuvenate your life. It will reinvigorate your life. It will re-energize your life. You are speaking, you are hearing me, shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. This practical example. Edina, were you the pastor in Nanyiba at that time? When we had that crusade in the university. We had a big crusade. And I was to go after healing and deliverance service on Tuesday like this. By the time, and the whole week had been very busy. I was tired. I needed rest. I mean, no matter how who you are, there is a time to rest. I needed rest. So I called him. I said, how is the crusade going? He said, fine, things are moving very fine. I said, you know what? I will not be able to come today. I'm very, very tired. I need to rest. But first thing tomorrow morning, I will hit the road. So help me anchor the service tonight at the crusade ground. He said, yes, sir. But people started coming since morning. Since morning. He said the place is filled with crippled people, blind people, afflicted people. He said they are everywhere. I said, really? He said they came since morning. And we're talking around 1 p.m. Now, before I called him, I couldn't imagine myself entering the car from here to Gwagwalada. Gwagwalada to Lokoja. Lokoja to Ajaokuta. Lokoja to Ajaokuta, that was meant to be 25 minutes. It was 1 hour. 1 hour, 1 hour. Just, I imagine the road. Then you finish with Ajaokuta, enter Itobi, and then come and then enter the bridge. And then I imagine all of that and concluded that I'm not going today. Let me rest and come tomorrow. But when I heard that the sick and the afflicted have been there since morning, tiredness disappeared. I told him, I'll see you shortly. I jumped into the car. Yes. That's right. Healing and deliverance, they were just reminding me that healing and deliverance service in those days would end like 6, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I jumped into the car. I didn't feel any road. The road became smooth. The road became smooth. Tiredness died. When I arrived straight to the crusade ground, healing like water, blind, deaf, crippled, all manner. And I appreciated God because I made that journey. You are tired because you are not seeing enough. You are not feeling enough. You are exhausted. You are weary because you haven't seen something. You haven't caught some vision. You are doing overtime on the bed in the morning because there is nothing that gives you a reason to wake up and wake up on time and wake up with energy and wake up and hit the road. There is nothing that fills you. There is nothing driving you. And where there is no drive, there is no destination. Praise the Lord. It's no drive. No destination. You're not going anywhere without a drive. It will re-energize you. It will make you young. They are telling me that I'm looking younger than my age. And I'm looking younger every day. And it has not started yet. Because what's still here is plenty. 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 We will overrun this place plenty times. Until there is... Let me stop there. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Lift your hands, say, I shall fulfill my days. I shall proceed with strength. I shall proceed with energy. In the name of Jesus. Take your seat, let me round up. Number 6 is living in the fear of God. The fear of God, which is to abstain from evil. Proverbs 19:23, it says, the fear of God, of the Lord, tendeth to life. And he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord is a channel to life. Where you don't fear God, you revel in evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Is to eschew evil, is to hate evil. Right? The fear of God that makes you not to touch the abominable, that makes you to escape defilement, that fear of the Lord. In Psalm 119 verse 67, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. So if I am not going to be afflicted, I must stay on track. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, have I kept thy word. Church money is not pastor's money. It's God's money. When you touch it, you open the door for destruction and disaster. When you touch corruption, you open the door. When you give your strength out in another direction, you remember what King Lemuel's mother told him, give not out your strength. When you give your strength out in another direction, you cannot have the strength you need for the assignment. You can't. You can't have the health. Apart from having your life jeopardized for eternal hell, living in the fear of God, it prolongs life. Number 7 is living in faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says, the just shall live by faith. Faith in God that says, my life cannot be cut short before my time. Romans chapter 4 verse 20, the Bible says, Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was strong in faith. He was strong in faith. Faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 11 concerning Sarah. The Bible says through faith also Sarah herself received strength. So faith is a channel of strength. Faith connects us with health. It connects us with life. Living faith in God. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. And in, say, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That is, Jesus tasted the death that should have been your death. He died the death that should have died you. That is as simple as that. He died young, 33 and a half, 33. Very brutal death. Tragic death. Painful death. That excuses you from that type of death. They can't be pulling you from under the car. That charges up your faith. That charges up your faith. You can't be a victim of a stray bullet. They push the nails into his hand, push the spears into his chest. You can't be a victim of such. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The devil may not understand any language, but he understands the language of faith. It is in your mind. It is in your steps. It is in your speech. It is in your behavior. That Jesus died young. He died tragically. He died in the hands of wicked men. That excuses me from dying in the hands of wicked men. That excuses me from dying tragically. From every weapon that is formed. That excuses me and you from dying before time. That is what faith is. You get the light from scripture. And you use that light to charge your life. Romans chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Verse 24, 25, 26. You shall know that your tabernacle shall be in peace, and you shall visit your habitation, and you shall not sin. Thou shalt also know that your seed shall be great, and your offsprings as the grass of the earth. You shall come to your grave in half age, in young age. You shall come to your grave with debilitating disease in full age. Like as a shock of corn cometh in a season. Look at the Living Bible version. Let use it to charge your life. Now, read it. Want to go? You shall live a long, good life. Like standing grain, you will not be harvested until it is time.
Stand on your feet with a shout of praise.
I'm going nowhere. Look at your neighbors. You are going nowhere. I'd like you to read it again from that Living Bible version. Did it do anything to you? Want to go? I like you to make it personal. Make it personal. Make it I shall live a long good life like standing grain. I shall not be harvested until it is time. Allah, 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 Allah. Sinking boat can't harvest you. Plane crash can't harvest you. Road traffic accident can't harvest you. Terrorist can't harvest you. Kidnapper can't. Satan the devil. You are not due for harvest until it is time. And when it is time, you will be harvested by the right person. Almighty God. Huh? He said, beautiful in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Full age. I want you to sing that song and let us sing with brutality. Again. While we sing this song, miracles will happen. In Christ alone, see.
In Christ alone.
My hope is found. He's my life, my friend.
Sounding too loud. Just a moment. That this drumming is just sounding too loud or something. And then give us the right tempo. Better. Go.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, solid ground.
Fell to the faces, drowned in storm.
What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still, when strife is safe. Comforter, my only one. Here in the love of Christ, I stand.
In Christ alone.
In Christ alone. Who to come flesh. Fullness of God in hell. Let's be. This gift of love and righteousness spun by the ones he came to save.